being with us in the house of God tonight. And we do want you to be much in prayer for the service and pray for all those that are sick. I know we've got several folks that's out sick tonight, and we do want you to remember them in prayer. My watch says 10 minutes till 7. I'm going to put it in my pocket. Amen? Amen. That thing stopped on me. Amen. But I appreciate you being here tonight. And young'uns, I know we're all concerned about our pastor. Amen. I appreciate you praying for him. Just continue to pray for him. We talked to him today about 4 o'clock. He called me coming up the road, and he said, "Preacher, I'm coming right crossing over into Wilkes County right now." And I know that we've all been concerned about him, and let's pray for him and pray that God's will be done in his life. Lord God, give him a speedy recovery. But I don't know how long that recovery will be. But I want to ask you as a church, let's come together and let's bind together and get through this thing for our pastor and pray for him. And if you've got a job to do, let's do it. Amen. And just let God be God. Amen. Let him do in our heart what needs to be done today. And just continue to pray that God will help us. We as a church can do this and get through it. And I miss him as much as you do. One of the greatest men of God I've ever heard, and I'm not telling you something that's not so. Amen. I've heard a lot of preachers in my life, and Pastor Mark's one of the greatest ones that I've ever heard. And you just continue to pray for him and pray that God just bless him and help him. But let's all come together, amen, and just love on one another and love our pastor and get through this time that we're facing today. Amen. And God will bless him and help him today. Got some announcements that I need to make to you today, and want you to continue to pray. Now, I've talked to Pastor Mark about this, and I'm going to have Brother Gwen Anderson to go and be preaching Sunday morning here. That's my older brother. Brother Troy is going to preach Sunday night. I'll preach Wednesday night. Now, next Wednesday night is also a conference night. And you'll be a voting on that Wednesday night. I'm going to do, Mark asked me to do the conference for him. So we're going to do that the next Wednesday night. And you're going to be a voting on the land. So don't forget that. You'll be praying about that and pray that God's will be done in that today. So you remember that also and pray for that. Brother Chris will be preaching. I'll be preaching the second Sunday, Lord willing. Brother Chris will be preaching the third Sunday. And that's as far as I've got right now. Amen. And so we may have to start over after that. But I appreciate the opportunity to stand before you today. And I appreciate the privilege that God's given me to stand and try to share with you the Word of God. So let's do remember to pray for these things that we need to pray about. Let's come together as a church and go forward for God's honor and His glory. Amen. We've got some folks that having some surgery, upcoming surgery, and we want you to remember them as time gets closer. We'll let you know about them also. And don't forget Brother Troy and Brother Chris tonight. Both of them is preaching. Brother Chris is preaching down at Arbor Grove. Brother Troy is preaching over on 268. Amen. So don't forget that and pray for them. And Sharon Walker, you pray for these men and as they go out and preach the Word of God. So do remember them in prayer tonight. Amen. But again, I appreciate the privilege to be in the house of God with you tonight. I'm going to try by the grace of God to share with you the message God's laid upon our heart, and I'm going to try to be as calm as I can about this and try to preach to you that God's given me. We're going to read scripture out of Romans chapter 3, verses 9 through verse number 20. Then I'm going to go back and say some things and try to bring you up to where I want you to see the how God's laid this upon our heart. Amen. For this afternoon, and Romans chapter number 3 and verse number 9. It's in the Schofield Bible, Reverence Bible, to be on page 1194 in the Word of God. If you have found your place, you may stand. The reading of God's Word. The Bible said, "What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin." The Bible says in verse 10, "And it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They all are gone out of the way. They are altogether become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher, and their tongues they have used deceit, and the poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their way, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that these things, that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore my deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is a knowledge of sin. May God have his blessing the reading of God's word. Brother John, would you lead us, please? Thank you, Brother John. I appreciate that. The Bible, you know, the Apostle Paul, here in the book of Romans, he lays out a message here in the Word of God that is just like he was in a courtroom of law. He began to, every time that the Apostle Paul went from place to place, and he was coming to the city of Rome and to share the gospel of grace. Paul was one that introduced this grace that we have today, this dispensation of grace that you and I have, and we have applied to our heart and our life. But the Apostle Paul was one that God used to introduce this grace in the lives of people all over this land and all over this nation today. And here we find that the Apostle Paul in the book of Romans, he was in a prison there, but he wrote this letter and he sent it there to the city of Rome because he was telling those folks, he said, I'm coming to see you and I'm coming to share the gospel of grace with you. And listen, Paul had many difficulties as he went from place to place to stand and preach and introduce this grace today, because the Jews, they wanted to live under the law, and you got the Gentiles, they lived just about any way they wanted to live and done whatever they wanted to do. So Paul had conflict on every side, seemed like, when he went from a town to town to bring this to a point that they might understand what he's talking about when he mentions a word of grace today. And so you'll find in chapter number 1 of the book of Romans there, you'll find that the Apostle Paul was introducing this letter, my friend, and telling the folk that what he was going to do. In verse number 18, he says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." Paul was telling these folks, and listen, it's not only to the Jews, but it's also to the Gentiles. The Gentiles are you and I today. Anything but a Jew is a Gentile, and my friend, that's who we are tonight. And I'm glad that the grace of God was introduced to my heart and my life. And Paul said, listen, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He said, I'm going to tell you and preach you to that. Verse 17, "For wherein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, and it is written, the just shall live by faith." My friend, you and I today, if we're saved by the grace of God, my friend, we live by faith today. We live by faith that we have in Jesus Christ and God the Father, that he would take care of every need that you and I have in this walk of life. And I'm glad he does. My friend, I'm glad that he knows what we need and when we need it. And my friend, everything about our life, my friend, God knows about it today. We find as you read on in chapter number 1, my friend, this would be the title of my message tonight. The verdict is in, and the verdict, my friend, is guilty. Amen. My friend, every one of us tonight that is in this building, we are guilty, my friend and I. And we find here in the Word of God that the Apostle Paul begins to tell these folks there at Rome what he was going to bring and preach about. And you'll find there in the Word of God, it talks about not only the Jew, but it also talks about the Gentiles. My friend, we find the Bible said there in the Word of God in verse 24, "Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness, to the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their bodies
bodies between themselves, who change the truth of God into a lie and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. My friend, for this cause God gave them up to vile affection, for their women did change the natural use, that which is against nature, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burning in their lust one to another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving themselves, my friend, that recompense of their error which was meet. My friend, listen to me today. Paul was telling them, not only the Jews, but the Gentiles. He was laying it out. My friend, he was laying this out to them, saying, now this is what I'm going to preach on. This is what I'm going to try to teach to you today. My friend, Paul laid that out in the letter that he sent there to the church there at Rome today. And you know, listen to me today, that there's not anything in this world that's going to surprise God Almighty. My friend, I don't care what it is today. My friend, what's going on in our nation today, in our community, or even in our life, my friend, it's no surprise to God Almighty. He knows all about it tonight. He knows what to do. He knows how to fix it. He knows what He's going to do already today. And my friend, He's trying to help us to see today, my friend, that every one of us is guilty today. I know that some of you have sat on the court as a juror, my friend, and I'll tell you something. That is, I've done that, and I know some of you have done that, and that is a time in your life that you're going to have to be absolutely sure that that person is guilty before you pronounce guilty on their life. Well, my friend, I'll tell you something. All you got to do is read chapter 1. How, my friend, in the book of Romans, you'll have to stand up and say, yes, sir, I'm guilty. I'm guilty. How, my friend, listen to me tonight. I'm glad that God would help us to get to that point in our life that we are guilty, my friend, before Him today. He done for us, my friend, what you and I need in this walk of life. My friend, we find there in verse number 2, he began to talk there, our chapter number 2, my friend, talking about bringing judgment, my friend, upon a nation today. The Bible said in verse number 11, for there is no respect of person with God. My friend, there's absolutely no respect of person to God. He loves, my friend, that sinner. My friend, He loved you and I whenever we's lost without God. He loves us today as a child of God. My friend, He loves the rich. He loves the poor. He loves those in between. And my friend, He cares about those, my friend, that come and seeking God and wanting God in their heart and their life today. But my friend, we look at this as a whole today. My friend, every one of us is guilty. We've all, my friend, is guilty today. The Bible says in verse 16 of that same chapter, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. My friend, there's coming a day that God's going to judge the secrets of our hearts and life by the gospel of Jesus Christ. My friend, He's going to judge us, my friend, for what we've done, my friend, in this life today. And probably most importantly, what we have not done, my friend, for Him today. Listen, God loves us. He cares about us today. And my friend, we need to realize today that every one of us is found guilty. The Bible said in verse 21 of that same chapter, it says, thou therefore which teachest another, teachest thou that not thyself, thou that preachest a man should not steal, dost thou steal? My friend, I want to tell you something tonight. He was hitting the Jews in this chapter number 2. He said, you teach one thing, and my friend, you do something else. He said, if you preach on stealing, my friend, he asked him, said, do you steal yourself? My friend, I want to tell you something today. We stand and preach the Word of God. My friend, we accuse somebody else of doing something. My friend, if we do it by ourselves, we are a hypocrite. Amen. My friend, we're not doing what God wants us to do today. My friend, we're all guilty. My friend, in the eyes of God, youngins, we need to realize today that God has done something in our life that no other man could ever do. My friend, He loves us. He cares about us. And my friend, He knows all about us. Amen. Then in chapter number 3 there, which starts out, said, what advantage, my friend, has the Jews today? My friend, we look at this scripture today, my friend, and realize today that, my friend, there's no no profit in circumcision today. My friend, the outward works of this body, my friend, there's nothing in that. My friend, we're living on the day of grace today that God's bestowed on you and I, that we might give our heart and our life to Him today. Now listen, the reason why I took you back and brought you that far is simply this. My friend, listen, the verdict is in, and we're all guilty. My friend, we're all guilty. I'm glad that I'm not, that God, His blood covered my sins. And I'm not going to receive what I ought to receive. If I've got what I received, I would have been dying, then dead in hell today. But my friend, because of the grace of God, I'm going to receive, I have received a salvation, and God's got me a place in heaven waiting on me on the other side. My friend, whenever we get to that point in our life that we realize, you know, I was once a sinner. Listen to me, young ones. You know what really bothers me, my friend, today, and it stirs my heart. One reason that God laid this on my heart today, young ones, when we see folks come into this church, and my friend, they are lost without God, never been saved by the grace of God. You know what we ought to do? We ought to pray harder than we ever prayed, my friend, for those young ones today. And realize today, young ones, when we get to our point of our life, you know, that was me one time. One time I was lost. One time I took God's name in vain. One time I done all the things everybody else did. And my friends, sometimes we want to look down on our nose at them, amen, and just say, well, you know, yeah, they need to get dressed better to come into the house of God. They need to take a bath once in a while. My friend, I'm going to tell you something today. My friend, if it wasn't for the grace of God, that could be you. And youngs, we're all guilty before God. I'm just trying to help us to realize today, my friend, that we need to do better than what we're doing. Amen. To realize tonight how that God's love is real and it touches every heart and every life today. Every one of us, my friend, is guilty today. Listen, we find there, my friend, in verse number 9, the Bible said, what then? Are we better than they? God asked that question. He said, what then? Are we better than they? My friend, are you better than that person that drunk's laying out there tonight? Are you better than him? Are you better than that harlot? Are you better than all the other folks out there that are lost without God? I say, no, we're not. Youngs, we are not better than they are. If it had not been for the grace of God, my friend, you would have been out there, may have been out there in that same situation. But my friend, I'm glad for the grace of God. I'm glad for the power of God. My friend, that's real in my heart and my life today. Listen, my friend, sin has no remedy but in the sacrificial death of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That is a remedy today, my friend, for sin. The Bible says here in the Word of God, in the book of Hebrews, in chapter number 9 and verse number 26, in that chapter, my friend, listen to what the Bible says. For then must he have sacrificed since the foundation of the world. But now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. My friend, it took the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ today, my friend, to save your soul and my soul tonight. Amen. My friend, I'm so glad tonight that God is so real in my heart and my life. And youngs, I'm glad I'm not out there in the world, wandering around in the filth of the world. But youngs, listen to me. Let's don't look down at folks that are out there lost without God. Let's say, hey, you know, we need to pray for that individual. Need to pray that God will touch them and God will help them today. And youngs, I know that we're in a sacred place. And this place ought to be honored and ought to be lifted up today. But if somebody comes into our church and my friend maybe never been here before and they're in ragged clothes and they're dirty, hey, I want to tell you something. They're here, my friend, for some reason. And just maybe they hear the gospel preached and be convicted and be drawn down the old-fashioned altar and another soul be saved by the grace and by the power of God. Youngs, it's amazing today how that people want folks to clean up before they get saved. I want to tell you something, that don't work, amen? My friend, you come as you are. Jesus said, you come as you are and let me do what in your life, my friend, that needs to be done today. Listen, we find in the Word of God in verse 9, says, what then? Are we better than they? It says, no and no wise. For we have before proven both Jew and Gentiles that they are all under sin. My friend, I want to tell you something. The Apostle Paul, he just lays it on the line. He said, I've showed you in the Word of God in verses chapter 1 and chapter number 2 that we're all under sin. My friend, we're all guilty. When the verdict comes in, it comes in as guilty. My friend, we're all guilty, my friend, before the eyes of God. Listen, but my friend, the Bible said in verse 10, and it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. My friend, we cannot live a righteous, free, sin-free life. We cannot do it no matter how hard you try. My friend, you can't do it today. You know why, my friend? Because of this stuff called the flesh. We just can't do it today. Youngs, we're all guilty before God. Every one of us, my friends, stand that way before God. It says verse 11, there is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. My friend, I want to tell you something today. The Apostle Paul, he just laid it on the line. He said, Jews, you need to get to realize today that God's opened up a new way by grace, faith, my friend, and believing God and serving Him through this grace process. And he says, Gentiles, I want to tell you something today. By the grace of God and His power, He can change your heart and change your life. Paul says we're all guilty. There's not a one, my friend, it's not. Verse number 12, it says, they are all gone out of the way. They are altogether become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. My friend, I'm telling you tonight, Paul just lays it right on the line. He tells every one of us, hey, listen, my friend, we all was in this state one time in our life, my friend, but I'm glad that the remedy for sin, my friend, it is Jesus Christ and Him crucified today. My friend, we are absolutely no better than anybody else. My friend, God saved us. I'm thankful for the salvation tonight. And youngs, we ought to shout the victory tonight because we've been born again by God's amazing grace. We could have been dead in hell, lost without Him. My friend, listen, we may have missed a mark sometimes in our life as our Christian walk. My friend, we may fall short of doing the things that we should do. My friend, the Bible says in Psalms chapter 14, verse number 1, that says, there is none that doeth good. My friend, there's not a one of us that doeth good. Preacher, I do this and I work and I do all. Youngs, listen to me. When it really comes down to it, there's none of us that do what we should do. None of us. Including myself, none of us, my friend, but I'm thankful that my name's recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. My friend, listen, the Bible said there, verse number 13, their throat is an open sepulchre. With their tongues they have used deceit and the poison of asp is under their lips. Youngs, listen, preacher, do we want those kind of folks in our assembly? Why, praise God, youngs, I want them here. Amen. I want them here. I want them in the house of God. That the Holy Spirit of God will get a hold of their heart and save their soul from the devil's hell. My friend, listen, the Bible said, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their way. And the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. My friend, that's the way I was when I was lost without God. I didn't fear God. I didn't fear no man. My friend, but I want to tell you something. On October the 13th, 1973, when I walked through those doors back there on that Wednesday night, my friend, I said when I got out of the Army, I got back to the house, I said, there ain't no man talking to me like they talk to me in the Army. Absolutely not. I'll not put up with it. I'll not stand it. My friend, when I walked through those doors back there, I felt something in my life that I never felt before. My friend, I just done it because I want to get my family off my back and quit aggravating me. But I want to tell you how when Brother Feldman preached the Word of God, the Holy Spirit got a hold of my heart and drew this sinner down the old-fashioned altar. And there I give my heart and my life to Him. I had all this in my mouth was an open sepulcher. My friend, it was dirty, a filthy mouth. But I'm glad God put some grace in my heart, in my life, put some love in my heart, put some honey in my mouth where I can tell somebody about Jesus, my friend, and help them to see the path to come and give their heart and their life to Him. Young uns, we've all been guilty. Every one of us has been guilty. My friend, but I thank God for His grace and His mercy today. The Bible said there, says, now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them that are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in His sight. For by the law is a knowledge of sin. You leave here tonight, if you have to drive any distance at all, if you run 45 mile an hour out here on Pads Road and the highway patrol pulls you over, whose fault is it? It's not the highway patrolman. My friend, it's your fault. You're guilty. You can go to that judge. You stand before that judge. You can plead your case. My friend, but that judge will tell you right quick, you're guilty. Amen. Youngs, listen, I'm telling you tonight, my friend, that every one of us, my friend, stand guilty before God. I thank God for His grace and His marvelous mercy that He has, my friend, in our heart and our life today. My friend, listen, we miss the mark. We are guilty before God. The remedy, my friend, for sin is Jesus Christ crucified. My friend, listen, Christ is made unto us righteousness. Not ours, my friend, not ours, but His righteousness. It's not our righteousness, my friend, that helps us to see the need of being saved by the grace of God. You can't get good enough to be saved. You've got to surrender your heart and your life to Him. And let Him do what's in your life, my friend, needs to be done. What I'm trying to tell you tonight, children, is we all stand guilty before God. And let's pray for those folks that come into this church. My friend, pray. And I know, my friend, I understand these things. I know all about them. But I want to tell you, when somebody comes in this church, they're lost without God. The greatest need in their life is Jesus Christ. My friend, that's the greatest need in their life today. Youngs, we need to pray that God will touch them. God will help them to see their need of being saved by the grace and by the power of God. My friend, I'm glad today that God loved us. My friend, enough. Look in verse 21. It says, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifest, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Amen. My friend, every one of us, my friend, have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But ain't you glad of His righteousness today? I couldn't save myself, neither could you, but Jesus Christ's righteousness, His righteousness, my friend, made you a fit subject for the kingdom of God. Oh, praise His name tonight. Youngs, I'm so glad. The remedy of sin, my friend, is Jesus Christ, His righteousness, and not ours today. Verse 24, the Bible said, but being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Boys, I'm glad Jesus Christ paid the price. My friend, that redemption simply means to deliver by paying a price. Now, ain't you glad God paid your price? My friend, I'll tell you something. I had a debt that I could not pay. My friend, Jesus come in. He saved my soul. And He said, I'm going to pay you debt. I'm going to pay you sin debt. He said, you just give me your life and your heart. You love me. You trust me and you walk with me. He said, I'm going to pay what you owe. Oh, I'm glad, my friend, that I don't have a debt. My friend, Jesus took care of that. My friend, on the cross of Calvary, He delivered me by paying a price. My friend, listen to me. I know you've heard this before. This ain't the first time you've heard this today. But this blesses my heart. My friend, what I'm going to share with you right now. There's three words, my friend, in the Greek that talks about the redemption. My friend, they are translated in the Word of God. My friend, there's one of them is Argarzo. My friend, that Argarzo simply means to purchase in the market. My friend, it talks about a slave market that sold under sin. Every single one of us today, my friend, has been on that slave market, my friend, and sold under sin. My friend, we've been there because of our deeds and what we've done and what we haven't done by not giving our life and our heart to Jesus Christ today. My friend, we are there, we're sold under sin, and our sentence is death. My friend, if a person dies lost without God, my friend, they're going to hell. They're going to hell. I stood behind this board and tried to preach a funeral not many weeks back. I told some of those folks, I knew their life. I knew who they were. I told them plainly, if you don't get saved by God's grace, you're going to hell. My friend, listen, you can't get any plainer than that. God, my friend, gave His Son that you and I might be saved by the grace and by the power of God. My friend, we have been placed on that market there, that slave market. My friend, we've been sold under sin. Our sentence is death. But my friend, listen, we've been purchased with a price of the blood of the Redeemer who died. My friend, instead of you, He died for you today. We've been redeemed, my friend, by Jesus Christ. He bought us off of that slave market. Amen. My friend, listen. The next word you'll find is exargo. My friend, that exargo simply means to buy out of the market and never ever be for sale again. Amen. My friend, I'm glad today that Kenny Anderson is not for sale, my friend. I'll never go to that slave market again. I'll never be on that slave market. He'll never have to die for Kenny Anderson again because he done it once. One time. My friend, I give my heart and my life to Him today. Jesus loves us today, children. He cares about us. My friend, He died for us on the cross. Listen, some of you are in the same boat that I was being that's my age. My friend, we've grown up in families large. My friend, we didn't have new clothes. We didn't get new clothes. We didn't get something to drive when we got 16 years old. My friend, if you got around at my house, you had to get you a bicycle, make one bicycle out of about four or five bicycles, and that's how you went from store to store, from one buddy's house to the other buddy's house. That's how it was done. When you got hand-me-down clothes, and I always liked to get my cousins' clothes because they had more money than we had, and they had nicer clothes. And when I'd see Louise come with a big old bag of clothes, I said, "Oh boy, I'm gonna get me some good looking clothes now that I can wear to high school, and everybody won't make fun." I want to tell you something today, children. God's took me out of all that mess today, my friend. He has put grace in my heart and my life. And my friend, he wants me to be a blessing and a help today. And whenever I see somebody downtrodden and God says, "I want you to do something for that individual," I try my best to do it the very best I can for that individual, to show them the love of God. I don't grab them back around the neck and drag them and say, "Listen, if you don't get saved, you're going to die and go to hell." I don't do that. You got to show them that you love them first. And then, my friend, you can teach them and show them and let Preacher Mark preach to them, amen, and tell them about Jesus and how, what God can do for their heart and their soul and their life today. Youngs, I appreciate folks coming to the house of God. I appreciate sinners coming to the house of God. They may not, they may come in with a big old beard, my friend, dirty clothes. My friend, they may come in raggedy clothes. They may say things that's not nice to say. But youngers, listen, you got to realize they're lost. And they need somebody, my friend, to love them and somebody to preach to them and the Holy Ghost of God get a hold of their heart, my friend, and save them by the grace of God. Amen. I was guilty. You was too. You was too. My friend, every one of us has been guilty before God. My friend, the verdict is in. And the verdict, my friend, is guilty today. Listen, not only you have there, my friend, those one word, argarzo, and exargarzo, you also have lutro. My friend, that word lutro means to loose and set free by paying the price. Thank God, young'uns, I've been set free. Amen. Jesus Christ has set me free. The price has been paid, my friend, and we've been set free. And I'm going to tell you something. We'll never go back to that slave market of sin again. We'll never be on that slave market of sin again because we've been saved by the grace of God. Amen. Our name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And young say enough devils in hell itself to take our name out of that book. It's there to stay, praise God. Yeah. Wouldn't you like to see somebody else put their name there? Oh, praise God, I would. I want to see God move in hearts and lives. It don't matter to me who you are. I want to see God move. God saved today. Listen, we're all, my friend, guilty before God. Verse number 25 of that same chapter. Whom God had set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sin that are passed through the forbearance of God. You know what that word propitiation simply means? It simply means a sacrifice. Jesus Christ took our place. That's what that means. He took our place. My friend, He died for us, that you and I might be saved. Listen, it says to declare, verse 26, to declare, I say at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. The justifier of him that believes in Jesus. You got a problem with Kenny Anderson? You go talk to Jesus about it. Amen. He's the one that justified me. He's the one that set me free. He's the one that died on the cross for me. He's the one that gives me grace, my friend, to live every day. Amen. And when I do fall short, and when I do miss a mark, He gives me a place I can get on my knees. Yes, and I can pray to God, say, Lord God, would you forgive me? Young as you can pray with your eyes open, amen. I've rode up and down the road and I say, God, would you forgive me? I tell you, young as we today need to realize that every one of us is guilty. Amen. And young as we need to pray that God would send folks into this church that is lost without God. We ought to look every day, Lord, would you send one or two? Would you just send somebody here that's lost without God that they may hear the gospel and be saved by the grace of God? Oh, preacher, we don't want them people's raggedy clothes in here. And I want to tell you something, young'uns. You had them too. I had them, you had them. My friend, one day we was rotten. My friend, our mouth was like an open sepulcher. My friend, it's dirty. Potty mouth is what Shirley calls them. Amen. They got potty mouths. My friend, I want to tell you something today. God saved me. And He took that pottiness out of my mouth and put a big old stick of honey in there. He said, now, you eat on that a while. Do you know something? Honey will make you sick. If you eat enough of honey, I'll sit down and beside of a bee gum, and they take them racks off them bee gums. I seen a man that he's done gone on to be the Lord today. Tim knows who I'm talking about. My friend, my dad go up there on Sunday or Saturday and Sunday, and he'd be up there working them bees, and there'd be eight young'uns sitting around there, and my friend, he'd begin to take them bees off, and he'd reach in there, and my friend grab a big old hunk of honey and say, here, eat that. You know how a young'un is and never had much of honey? Boy, we'd be eating that. It wouldn't be long. We'd be going out trying to harden for Roy. Amen. My friend, listen to me. God's honey is not like that. Praise God, it's so sweet and it stays forever. Amen. My friend, it never leaves. It's always there. It's good today. Listen, children, I'm glad God has taken us off the slave market of sin, and we'll never be put on there again, and we've been set free, my friend, by the grace and by the power of God. His righteousness, my friend, in verse number 26, I declare His righteousness today. My friend, we're all guilty, but I know how you can get past that guilt in your life today. My friend, and be free forever. We find in verse number 28, My friend, the Bible says, therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without deeds of the law. You can work, try to get your way in. You can be a do-gooder and try to get your way in. And young as you're going to stand there, when if you die in that state, you're going to stand there before God and hear these words. Sorry, I never knew you. Sorry, I never knew you. Young's, I want to tell you something. It's not what we can do. My friends, what Jesus Christ has done on the cross of Calvary. Justified, there is that word means there is nothing is laid to our charge. Amen. Nothing. Amen. We're justified. Hallelujah. Nothing laid to our charge. My friend, that's how much God loves us today. If we had justice, every one of us would have been dead in hell today. But thank God for His mercy. Thank God for His grace. My friend, thank God that He took us off the slave market of sin. And He said, you know what, Kenny, you're not going to be back out there no more. I'll pray. You talking about praising God, youngins. You talking about them Holy Ghost bumps running up and down your arms and down your back. Whenever you realize that today, that you're not going to be on the slave market again. Because you've been saved by the grace of God. Oh, I'm glad that Lutrose was in there. It'll loose you. Amen, and let you go. Youngs, there's nothing. Absolutely nothing. Sin does not bind me. My friend, sin will not bind you. I'm not saying that you won't sin. I'm saying it don't bind you. My friend, God said, I've took you off the slave market. I've set you free. I've justified you. He said, I want you to realize that today. And He said, whenever you do get bound up in sin, He said, just look to me. Just turn to me. He said, I'll take care of it. I'll take care of it. Youngs, there's nothing, absolutely nothing laid to our charge today. So children, listen to me tonight. I don't know your heart. Only heart I know is mine. I know without a shadow of a doubt I'm saved by the grace of God. That I know, my friend. And I know when this life's over with, I'm going home to be with Him. Will I make mistakes? I have made many in my life. I have faltered. I have failed. I have missed a mark. My friend, I've failed miserably in my life. But He's never, ever forgotten me. He said, Kenny, I'll be right there with you. Amen. And I'll help you. And I'll see to it that everything's all right. You just confess and believe in me and you just keep going for the glory of God. Amen. And young as you know, he's a man of His word. Yeah. Amen. My daddy used to tell us boys, he said, now listen, I want to tell you something, son. He said, if you tell somebody you're going to do something, you better do it. Amen. I tell you what, Jesus Christ and God the Father and the Holy Ghost of God, the Trinity come into my heart one day and He said, listen, I'm giving you a home in heaven and my friend is waiting on you on the other side. And while you're here, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to lead you and guide you and help you along this way. And no matter what comes, you just trust me. I'm going to be right by your side. Young as He loves us today, but we're all guilty, my friend, before God. We stand before God, my friend, guilty today. But ain't you glad tonight that God loved us so much that He took us off the slave market of sin? My friend, He put us in a place that we could live and just have Jesus Christ in our heart and in our life today. I'm glad I'm around a bunch of people that love the Lord. I'm glad I'm around somebody that's not ashamed to talk about Jesus and talk about God and just live a life. Ain't it nice, youngins, to go to work and you're working with some people around there and every one of them saved by God's grace? Listen, not all of us have that. We have to put up those things in the world. I mean, you go to supermarkets, you're going to hear some foul mouth, somebody going to say something. My friend, my wife, you talk to her, she took me by the arm. I said, wait a minute. Youngs, listen to me. Jesus Christ will take all that away. Take it all away. He'll loose you. He'll take you off of that slave market of sin, and He'll loose you. My friends, you can live for Jesus and serve Him and walk with Him today. You know, if people can see in our life Jesus and know that, hey, there's something different about that person. There's just something different about him. My friend, that's what they need to see. It's not really what comes out of this thing here. It's what they see. I've got a neighbor down there that lives right beside me. His yard meets my yard. I've been for years trying to lead him to the Lord. There's a gentleman that come up to me not long ago, and he said, you know, called his name. I said, yeah, I know him. I said, he lives right beside of me. He said, you know what he said about you? I said, it don't matter. Don't matter what he said about me. I said, I love him. He's been in my house. He's been on my carport. Him and I sit there, and I try to witness to him, and he have two or three beers in his little cart that he rides around. And I told him straight up, I said, listen, you need to take him two or three beers, yarn, and throw him down the hill and quit that stuff.
Amen.
That gentleman said, well, he's talking about you. I said, I don't care what he says. Don't matter to me. But you know what he said? And I'm not pinning nothing on my chest tonight, children. He said, Kenny's the best neighbor I've ever had. I've been there for, me and Shirley's been down there for 30 years, Tim, something like that, maybe longer than that, 35. Right beside of him. He come over to my house and I go over to his house. Went over and had dinner with him one Sunday. Preacher, what's wrong with you? I'm trying to get the man saved by God's grace. It's what's wrong with me. I'm praying that God will get a hold of his heart and save his soul before he leaves this earth.
Amen.
He's older than I am. I don't know how much longer he's got left on this life. But I'm praying that God will save him before he leaves this world. And they buried his mother not long ago, a couple of weeks ago. And that's where this man seen me at, down there at the funeral. His mother was a great saint of God. Oh, she, every time she'd see me, she said, holler at me, Preacher Kenny, how you doing? She's just a blessing to be around. I'd sit with her and talk to her, and we'd stand out there in the yard and talk about the Lord. And she went up here at Miller's Creek Baptist Church, that's where she attended. Went up there for years by herself. She'd get in the car when she was able to drive. When she wasn't able to drive, they'd come get her. Take her up there. She had books, Sunday school books and teacher books, and she'd give me them books. Said, here, you might need these. I tuck them. I need everything I can get, brother. Everything I can get, I'll take. I tuck them books and sat there and read them. There was notes in there where she'd made. Youngins, I'm going to tell you something. There's some good people out there saved by God's grace. There's good people in this church right here tonight. If you wasn't saved by God's grace, you probably wouldn't be here tonight. Especially when you heard that Kenny Anderson's going to preach. But, you know, I appreciate the opportunity, my friend, just to be here tonight and be in the house of God. Youngins, I'm going to tell you tonight, we're all guilty. Every one of us is guilty. And let's pray. When we see somebody come in our church and we know it's lost or we think it's lost, let's do all we can to show them the love of God in our heart and our life. I want to see them saved by God's grace. He's done so much for me. He'll do it for you tonight. Amen. Amen. I hope and pray that you got a little something out of what the Lord gave me on this message tonight. And young'uns, I ask for permission to do what I'm going to do. I know that I'm a member here, but I respect every man in this building. Every office that you hold, I respect you for it. I honor you for it. And I'll never do nothing. I asked Pastor Mark what I could do. I'll never do nothing that he would not want me to do. I'll never do nothing that you would not want me to do. My friend, accept Now I've got to do this. I've got to preach the Word of God. I'll never do nothing. I asked permission to do what I'm going to do tonight. God burdened my heart today. After Preacher Mark called me at 4 o'clock, God burdened my heart and He said, "Now, Kenny, this is what I want you to do tonight when you get done. And young as I asked you to do this tonight. There's somebody going to take a picture. We're going to have an altar prayer for our pastor. I will stand up here. If you can't kneel, you stand. And there's a gentleman going to take a picture back there in the back up here toward us standing. I told him to put on that caption, "Preacher Mark, a church praying for you." If you've never been in the situation that he's been in, you never know how that's going to touch his heart and touch his life. To see the church praying for him when he's not here. Youngs, I miss him. I miss him. We certainly need to pray for him. But listen, let him breathe a little while, okay? Let him breathe a few days and get healed up. Just give him an opportunity to breathe today. We're going to have an altar prayer for our pastor. If you can bow, bow. Come on up here in this and bow. If you cannot bow, you stand behind those that are bowing. Amen.